Okay. Shalom Aleichem, everyone. We'll continue through the Siddur. We've finished discussing Birchas HaTorah. It took us a number of weeks. Now, what I'm about to say certainly depends on the Siddur that you have and depends on, you know, what Nusach you daven. But what I'd like to move to next is Matovu. In some Siddurim, it's earlier, some Siddurim, it's later. As you'll see, Matovu is not really about davening per se as much as it is about entering into a shul. And you can tell by your siddur where they expect to say Birchas HaShachar before or after Matovu. We'll discuss the psukim that come along with Matovu as well, what's it doing over here. Just a note, I'm probably going to skip if you look at a siddur at this point in the siddur, you'll probably find either the bracha I'm putting on tefillin or the bracha I'm putting on talis. I'm going to skip that because it's not relevant to the people here. So we're not going to discuss the bracha on tefillin and talis. Perhaps that'll be discussed at a different location, a different time. But again, if we're following the siddur, we're going to begin with Ma Tovu. The pasuk, as we know, comes from Bilam, as we read a number of weeks ago in the Torah, and his desire to curse the Jewish people. And Chazal understand that when we say Ma Tovu Ohalecha Yaakov, the tents of Yaakov, this refers to Bate Knesios and Bate Medrashos, the shuls and the base medrash. And therefore, it is recited before we come into shul to daven. How do we know that Matovu is about shuls and base medrash? So it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Hei says, Amar Rav Yochanan, mi birchaso sha'osa rasha atalamed mahaya b'libah. From the blessing of this rasha, we know what he wanted to curse us with. Bilam wanted that we should not have shuls and schools. Matovu alach Yaakov. Lo tishra shchina aleam u'mishchanosach Yisrael. That the shchina, Hashem's presence, should not rest in these places. And Rashi explains, there in the Gemara, Dichsiv, Ve'afoch Hashem alokecha, l'cha saklal lebracha. That Hashem flipped the curse into a blessing. Bilam wanted that we should not have shuls, but instead he ends up blessing us that we should have shuls. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Kulam Chazu L'Klal L'Chutz Mibasei Knesios U'Bas Midrashos. All of the blessings of Bilam at a certain point in Jewish history became curses in different circumstances, except for this pasuk of Matovu. Matovu is the only bracha of Bilam's that remained intact, and the blessing remains to this day. We see that it's clear from Bilam's intention that the pasuk of Matovu refers to shuls and schools. Now, there's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Beis, Amar Beis says, Amar of Abahu ben Zutrasi, Amar of Yehuda bar Zavida. Bikshu l'kva parshas Balak b'kriyashma. They wanted to put the parsha of Balak, the whole episode of Balak, into kriyashma. It's like 100 psukim. Mipnei malak havu. Why didn't they put it in? Mishum torach tzibur. Because, could you imagine, you have to say shema and birchas kriyashma, and then you got to read a whole 100 psukim about Bilam and Balak. That's a little bit much for shul. It's a tircha for the tzibur. Difficult for everybody to handle that during davening, and therefore we didn't end up saying it. Now, Gemara goes on to explain, essentially, that any parsha that wasn't broken up by Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not allowed to divide it. And the parsha of Bilam and Balak is over 100 psukim, and there's no place really to stop or close. There's no pesucha or stuma. If you look in the Torah, there's no break. There's no break in the psukim anywhere in the entire episode. And we're not allowed to divide up those chapters, those sections of the Torah, unless it was divided by Moshe Rabbeinu. And because we cannot divide it up, therefore, reciting the entire thing would be a tircha on the tzibur at the end of the day. Now, we find the minhag of entering shul matovu in the earliest places in the siddur of Rav Amram Gon, one of the great rabbis of the period of the Gonim, and also in the siddur of Rashi. So we're talking, you know, not that much before, around 1000, the year 900, when matovu makes its way into the our davening. It seems that it should be said when coming to shul for any tefillah, and not just shachris, right? Matovu alecha Yaakov. I should recite it when I come to shul for mincha, I recite it when I come to shul for mariv. However, the minhag has always been to say matovu in shachris, And this is how it's printed in our Siddurim. This would also explain why Matovu, as we mentioned at the beginning, is in different places in the Seder of Shachris. Because depending on where people would come to Shul, that's when you would say Matovu. Now, I don't know what people were doing during coronavirus, but you probably should not have been saying Matovu during davening, because Matovu is a statement regarding entering into Shul. Davening in your house is not a Shul, and therefore Matovu probably should have been skipped if you were not davening in Shul during the last few months. Now, the Tshuvas of the Maharil, one of the great Chachmei Ashkenaz in Simen Kuf Nun, he writes, HaNichnasin LeBeis HaKnesses, we enter into Shul Shachris, Mi Lo Amar Matovu V'Kam Psukim. Who doesn't say Matovu in the Psukim that accompany as well? So we see again, it's spread throughout Ashkenaz as well. And the reciting of Matovu is in fact not brought in the Torah, and it's not brought in the Shulchan Aruch as well. Interesting. I think this is the first thing that we are learning about that is not brought in Shulchan Aruch. But for whatever reason, it has made its way into the Siddur nevertheless. But the truth is that many of the poskim that people, and many of the psukim that people say in the morning are not recited there as well, as we'll see later on throughout the course of this series. And it is, however, noted by the Ramah, but not in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe is the Ramah's work that comes before the Shulchan Aruch that he wrote first, and it's cited by the Ramah's Talmud, the Lavush. The Ramah says that this is found in the Kolbo. The Kolbo is this major work of halacha in Ashkenaz. We don't know who the author is. There are theories about who the author is, but it's this major work of Ashkenazi psak and minhag. It's not in our version of the Kolbo, but it is brought in the Orchos Chaim in Hilchos Sittus by Rav Aaron of Lunel. Many people say the Kolbo is either plagiarizing the Orchos Chaim is plagiarizing the Kolbo, but it's all the same area that is accepted at the end of the day in amongst the Jewish people. Now, what's the purpose? What's our kavana when we recite Matovu? The reciting of Matovu is meant to instill a sense of kavod beis hakneses. It's meant to instill a sense of kavod beis hakneses. It is possible that this is instituted to fulfill the mitzvah of mora migdash, of having a sense of awe for the beis hamigdash, for the beis hakneses. The Sefer HaYira of Rabbeinu Yonah seems to understand in this context. Is there a mitzvah of mora migdash for a shul? Well, that's a discussion as well. The Chafetz Chaim in his psicha to the laws of Chafetz Chaim, the Shmiras HaLashon, cites some poskim who seem to say that there's a mitzvah of the Torah to have covered for Beis HaKnesses. The Prima Gadim seems to say it's a Darabana, but nevertheless, it's a mitzvah at the end of the day. So let's look at this fascinating comment of the Shla. The Shla writes in Maseches Chulin, Mash anu mafsikin v'pasuk matovu. That which we stop and we recite the psuk of matovu, that we say when you come to shul, lo kashemidi. Let me explain to you why they're there. It's proper for all Jews when they come to shul. Shul mikdash ma'at, understand that it is a small beis hamikdash. Le kabbal of more mikdash leparo, to have a sense of respect for a shul. V'chilo yakoach gavoa chamor mikoach hediot. Obviously, we should have more respect from a shul than any other place we go. And the Gemara in Brachos says you can't just be makdim lepesach chaveru laseis lo shom kodim shisfal. You can't just walk into somebody and start talking to them before davening. It's not b'kavod Hashem. Start talking to other people before you talk to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Afilu hachi amru im paga bo yachol yitein l'shalom. So kal v'chomer l'shchina. You have to give a kavod to the shchina and the beis hakneses when you come as well. And therefore, we recite these psukim, says the Shla. Many of us were out of shul for a long time, and when we came into shul for the first time, there was this sense of awe and the sense of excitement, the sense of respect for this place. We were not there for some time, and it's so important not to lose that. Now, that sense that we had when we came to shul for the first time after many months, we need to retain it. We need to keep it with us and make sure we have continued decorum in shul and not talking in shul and treating shul as the place it should be treated for all time, and not just after being kicked out for a number of months. Now, does anybody not think we should say Matovu? So that is the Maharshal. Rav Shlomo Luria, the cousin of the Ramah, writes in his Shuvas and Siman Samach Dali, has a long Shuvah where he talks about different minhagim he has regarding Shul. And he says that we shouldn't say Matovu, because these are the words of Bilam HaRasha. Well, how strange. We come to Shul, we start using Bilam's words. Now we see from the Marshal was that the minhag was to say Matovu, but that his personal minhag was to skip it. And this is cited as well in the Elia Rabbah, and it's the opinion of Rav Yaakov Emmer and his Siddur that we shouldn't say Matovu because it comes from Bilam. However, this is definitely the minority opinion. The Aderes is Rav David Tumim, Rav Cook's father-in-law. He wrote all different types of interesting Sfarim. And he in his Sefer called Oved Orach, in Os Reish Ches, letter 208, he finds the entire issue strange, because the Gemara in Brachos says that Chazal wanted to institute the entire Parsha of Bilam into davening. So, and all of a sudden, you know, the Marshals think, oh, you know, Matovu, it's too much Bilam, it's not appropriate. The whole, they want to put the whole thing in davening. What's the Marshal's issue with Matovu? So he throws out the whole question. The Munkacher Rebbe, in his Divrei Torah, in Chelek Aleph, notes that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the Klala into a Bracha. So why are we so upset? What's wrong with you using Bilam's words? And the Seder Hayom brings the meaning of saying Matovu, as does the Matamosha, who was a student of the Maharshal. So we see that even in the Maharshal's own base medrash, they said Matovu. Now Rav Shabtai Sofer was a student of the Lavush. The Lavush was a Talmud of the Ramah. He had a student named Rav Mordechai Yaffe, and he wrote a sefer called the Lavush, also on Shulchan Aruch. And he was a student. The Rav Shabtai Sofer was a student of the Lavush. So he writes in his Siddur. His Siddur is considered one of the most important Siddurim we have in the history of Klal Yisrael. It's considered to be very exact in its nusach. He explains a lot of important minhagim. The Siddur of Rav Shabtai Sofer is a very respected Siddur. And he writes in his Siddur about this comment of the Marshal that we shouldn't say Matovu. And he thinks that the Marshal was simply writing his minhag, but not as a psak. He raises some of the above points we said already as to why it's not an issue. And then he concludes. He says, U'minhag avuseinu torahi. But the customs of our forefathers is Torah. V'divrei hagon divrei yachid. And the words of the Marshal is his only opinion, singular opinion. Explain this somewhere else. And says Rav Shabtai Sofer, I hear what the Marshal saying is, but that's not the custom of the Jewish people. Now, the Pnei Yehoshua and the Sfas Emes in Maseches Brachos both note that there should be a mitzvah to remember the story of Bilam and Balak. Why? Because the Pasuk in Micha says, Ami zacharna ma ya'atz Balak melech Moav. My nation remember what Balak did when he was the king of Moav. Now, if you recite the Sheish Zichiros, we recite the six remembrances at the end of davening, so why don't we include a seventh? The Navi says there's a mitzvah to remember what happened with Bilam and Balak. So the Lev Simcha, the Ger Rebbe, writes in Parshas Balak in Tavshin Mem Dalet, 1984, that it's fulfilled each day when we say Matovu, since this reminds us of what Bilam tried to do. Wow, what up shots, right? So when you say Matovu tomorrow morning, you can have Kavana, that I'm not only am I saying Matovu to get ready to enter the shul or to daven, but really I'm saying Matovu as well to have Kavana to remember what happened with Bilam and Balak. The Chidah, in his Avodas HaKodesh, adds the mitzvah of remembering Bilam amongst the other Zechiros as well. And the Kaf HaChaim even brings a Nusach, but apparently Matovu would fulfill it according to the Ger Rebbe. What are the other reasons for the Pasuk of Matovu? Well, Rav Binyamin Friedman, in his Sefer Makor HaTfilos, asks why we begin our Tfilos Hayom with this Pasuk. And he says they want to start the letter Mem, because Torah Shebaal Peh, the first Mishnah, begins with the Mem as well. Me'emasai Koronet Shema. And just like we begin Torah Shebaal Peh with a Mem, we want to begin our davening with a Mem as well. Why'd they want to begin Torah Shebaal Peh with Me'emasai Koronet Shema? Because the Rosh HaTevos, some of Farshim want to say that the Rosh HaTevos of Mikra, showing that Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichsav fit seamlessly together, is Me'emasai Koron Es Shema. So the Rosh HaTevos spell mikra. Another reason is to start Torah Sheval Peh with a mem, is because the Torah ends with a lamed, la'inei kol Yisrael. And therefore the next letter after lamed is a mem. So Torah Shebichsav seamlessly runs into Torah Sheval Peh, lamed and then mem. But that's not for davening, that's for another time. Rav Avram Naftali Galanati was a Rav who lived in America. He has a sefer called Mashal Umalitza in Parshas Balak. And he suggests that the ikar of tefillah, the main point of tefillah, is kavana. We've spoken about this a lot already. And not simply mouthing the words. Bilam also davened. And Bilam also said, Matovo Alecha Yaakov. And outwardly, he looked like a kadosh, right? If you read the parsha of Bilam and Balak, Bilam is not such a bad guy, right? He says, I'm going to follow Hashem. He blesses the Jewish people. I don't know. If you read Pashup Shai, you don't have Rashi. Bilam's not such a terrible guy. But we know that his kavana was rotten. He was rotten to the core. And similarly, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos asks, what's the difference between the Talmidei Avram Avinu, the students of Avram, and the Talmidei Bilam, the students of Bilam? Why doesn't the Mishnah Pirkei Avos ask, what's the difference between Avram and Bilam, right? Why are we talking about the students of Avram and Bilam? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos should say, the difference between Avram and Bilam. What's the Talmidei Avram and Bilam? Because outwardly, both Avram and Bilam appeared to be kadosh, they appeared to be tzaddikim. Avram was a tzaddik, he did the Ratzon Hashem. Bilam was a tzaddik, he did the Ratzon Hashem. It is only through the Talmidim, only through a person's students, can we see what type of people that the teacher really is. He goes on to tell the story of a chassid. A chassid had a neighbor that would make fun of him for singing all the time. Specifically, the way the chassidim sing. How do the chassidim sing? Bum, 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 right? They always use a bum, 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 the chassidim sing their nagunim. So the neighbor would mock the chassid, and he would say, bum, 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 and he would mock his chassidish neighbor by mimicking the way he would sing his nagunim. So to this, the chassid responded to his neighbor, ki yisharim darachei Hashem tzadikim yelchu bum. There are some people who are tzadikim, and they say bum, uposhim yikashlu bum. And there are people who are rishayim, and they also say bum as well. A person who sings a niggin, ay, 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 bum, 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 bum. It all depends on what your kavan is. You could sing a niggin and have, say all the words, and you could be rotten on the inside. And you can sing a niggin and have kavana and be pure on the inside. It all depends about kavan at the end of the day. You can be a tzaddik and sing bum, 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 and a rasha and sing bum, bum, bum. And therefore, that's the lesson of Matovu. Before we prepare ourselves for davening, we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, it's all about the Kavana. Bilam, outwardly, he's mouthing the words. But what's going on the inside? He's rotten inside. So to Hashem, we need to remember for ourselves, it is about the Kavana, what's on the inside of the end of the day when it comes to our davening. Okay, and I think that we have sufficiently explained Matovu, what it is doing in the Siddur. Let's move on to the next pasuk. If you have a Siddur in front of you, the next pasuk is Vani Barav Chasacha Avo Beisacha. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. Vani Barav Chasacha Avo Beisacha. Eshtacha Val Heichal Kadshacha Beyira Secha. I come to daven before Hashem. The source for this pasuk when we're coming to Shul is in the Zohar HaKadosh, Parshas Veschanan. It is cited by the Beis Yosef in Simen Chaf Hei. The Lavush and the Aruch HaShulchan explain that the Zohar is telling us to recite Vani Barav Chasacha Avo Beisacha. However, the phrase Eshtachava El Heichal Kadshecha Biyirasecha, that I bow in your shul out of awe, shouldn't be said unless you're wearing tefillin. And the Mishnah Berurah in his introduction to Siman Mamvav cites the Shaar HaTshuva in the name of the Prietz Chaim Rechaim Vital, who says that before coming to shul, while still outside the sanctuary, you should pause and say Vani Ruchasecha Beisecha, and then enter as well. The meaning is to say the whole pasuk. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed says the word Biyira Secha teaches us that we only daven at a sense of Yira and Kovid Rosh. We have to remember when we come to daven, it is serious business, and we need to have that level of intensity. There are some places that recite Psukim regarding Hishtachavaya, bowing down, that are found in Tehillim, as this is what the Matan Moshe writes, and the Seder of Twa. There's a book of collection of Sidre Twa, the city in France. They had this meaning as well. Twa is where Rashi's base medrash was. These are 13 psukim corresponding to the 13 pirtzos, the 13 breaks that were made in the chel made entering the Beis HaMikdash by the Yevanim. There's a much deeper discussion of here regarding what's going on. Nevertheless, we say these 13 psukim about bowing when we say Lecha Hashem Atzdak and Slichos, and that is something for Elul time. Now, the Zohar writes in its Hakdama that before davening, we should seek counsel with the Avos, and then daven. We should turn to our Avos. And therefore, the Zohar explains, Vani Barov Chasach of Beisacha refers to who? Avram. Avram is Midas HaChesed. Eshtachar al Heichal Kadshachar refers to Yitzchak, because bowing is a sign of one's Midas Hadin, that we subjugate ourselves for Hashem. And Birasecha refers to Yaakov, because Nora and Yira refers to Yaakov al Pikabala, not for right now. Rechaim Vitalni Olas Tamid explains that I'm not worthy to enter the Beis Hashem on my own. And it's only because of Rov Chastacha, therefore, I am Eshtachar al Heichal Kadshachar. Others explain that the Pasuk of Anibra of Chastacha has 10 words. Why is that important? Because the Sefer Ha'itim says, when you need to count to make sure you have a minyan, you use a Pasuk. Now, what Pasuk do we usually use for a minyan? What Pasuk do we usually use? Anybody know? Not that you would necessarily know, because you've never been counting for a minyan, but... Alright, Hoshia Samecha, right? We usually use Hoshia Samecha, but you can also use Anibra of Chastacha. That also has 10, and therefore that's why we begin davening with that. The Sefer HaPardes of Rashi says the same thing as well. So you can also use Hamotzi. Hamotzi also has 10 words in it, in case it ever comes up. If you need to count 10 people, Baruch Hashem Echalam Hosech Menaretz. Okay, now the Chassam Sofer in his Siddur explains Matovu, and this whole episode as follows. Yaakov refers, Matovu Alacha Yaakov. This refers to Balabatim. Right, we know Yisrael is the higher level of the Jewish people. Yaakov is the less distinct label in the Jewish people. Yaakov refers to a regular balabas who doesn't want to come to shul, to the Ole Torah, and to learn. Mishkan Osecha Yisrael, that's the Beis Medrash where the Talmid Chacham learn. But since they spend time there, what happens? A guy learns in Kolel, a guy's learning the Beis Medrash all day, he becomes Mezalzel. He doesn't give proper cover to the Beis Medrash because he spends all day there. And therefore, what do we say? We are not like this. Instead, v'ani b'rov chasecha avo beisecha, I come with the ratzon to the Beis Medrash. I come with excitement to the shul. B'rov chasecha avo beisecha. And the lom de Torah, those people who sit all day in the Beis Medrash and learn, v'shtacha v'beheichal kadshecha b'irasecha. They have a sense of yira and kavod. We have a sense of awe, which is certainly the theme we're trying to bring out when we recite Matovu, to instill within us a sense of awe of the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaKnesses. The next pasuk is Hashem Ahavti Ma'om Beisecha U'Mekom Mishkam Kavodacha. Hashem, I love the place of your house and the place where your glory rests. This is from Tehillim as well, Perachav Vav. The Gemara in Megillah Chavtes explains that Abaye said, initially I used to study Torah in my house and I would daven in shul. But once I heard and I understood what David HaMelech said, Hashem Ahavti Ba'om Beisecha, I'll always study Torah in the shul to express my love for the place where the Shechina rests. So this pasuk is a sense of our love of coming to shul, our avas Hashem in coming to the Beis Medrash. The next is Vani Eshtachava Ve'echra Avrecha Lefnei Hashem Asi. Where is this pasuk from? Anyone know? Anybody know where the pasuk is from? No? Nowhere. It's not a pasuk. In our Siddurim, there is no such pasuk. It's on in Tehillim, it's on in Tanakh. You can search anywhere. The pasuk of Ani Eshtachav Ve'echra V'chal Efnei Hashem Osi is not a pasuk. It is most likely an altered version of Tehillim Tzadihei. Tehillim Tzadihei says, Bo Nishtachav V'nechra Nivrachal Efnei Hashem Osenu. It's simply taking the Lashon Yachid of the Pasuk and making it Lashon Rab. We do that sometimes in our davening. Now, what's the difference between being Eshtachava and Echra'a? Eshtachavaya and Kriya. What's the difference? Well, the Radak on that Pasuk in Tehillim says Nishtachava is what we call Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, where we spread all the way out on the floor. Kriya is bowing one's head with one body as we bow in Aleinu, and Nivracha, using our Birkayim, is kneeling on the ground like we do on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Brachos says that Kriya is kneeling on the ground. Hishtachavaya is Pishit Yadayim Raglaim, extending our whole body on the ground. Nevertheless, the Eliyahu Rabbah in Siman Nun Hei cites the Shlah, who says that we should be Korea, we should bow when we say this. However, this is not brought in any other Sifrei Minhagim. We do not bow when saying this Pasuk. The last Pasuk we say is from Tehillim Samach Tes. It says in Tehillim, V'ani tefilasi l'cha Hashem, Eis ratzon elokim barov chastecha, aneini be'emes yishacha. That I, Hashem, am davening to you. The source of saying this in davening is really in Mincha on Shabbos. If you go to Shul Mincha Shabbos, after we say Asher V'al Tzion, before we take out the Torah, the Tur in Siman Reish Sadi Beis says we should say this Pasuk. It's based on a Medrash in Tehillim. The Medrash in Tehillim, which we don't have, says, Yasichu vi yoshvei sha'ar u'nignos shosi sheichar. It says that those people sit in the gardens and in the fields and they, you know, get drunk and do whatever they want. But what about me? V'ani tfilasi l'chashem es ratzon. But I go to daven. I come and daven to Hashem. The rest of the world, they get up and they do their thing and they go for their mishigas and all their silliness and they waste their time. But I, Hashem, I come to daven. Our nation, now this is specifically for Shabbos in this context. On our day off, we don't go to the bars, and we don't go to the beach, and we don't go, you know, rafting. We don't go on different trips. On our day off, we come to shul and daven and learn Torah, while the nations of the world are only involved in merrymaking and other types of things on their holidays. Meaning, v'ani tfilasi, I come and daven in the afternoon at this Eis Ratzon while others take off. And therefore, we invoke this pasuk again to say, Hashem, look at me. I wake up in the morning, I don't turn on TV first thing and to catch up on the news. I don't look at my phone right away and see what's going on in the world. I come and I daven. V'ani tfilasi Hashem. This is where I do. The rest of the world, they do other things, but I come and I daven. The tshuvas of the Maharshal, and that tshuva, Siman Samach Daled, writes that he doesn't say this pasuk in the morning because we should only say it in the place established by Chazal and Minchan Shabbos. Apparently the Maharshal doesn't like any of this. So he says we only say it on Shabbos. Our minhag is to say it probably comes from the Pashup Shat of David HaMelech asking that his tfilos should always be an Eis Ratzon, should always be accepted by Hashem. There's a Yerushalmi in Makos that seems to hint at such an idea. And the Gemara in Brachos, Tav Ches Amen Be'alef, specifically says about Tefillah B'Tzibor. My Dichsiv, what does it mean? V'ani tfilasi l'cha Hashem Eis Ratzon, that Hashem, my tefillah, should be an Eis Ratzon, a time of acceptance. Eimas Eis Ratzon, when is it a good time to daven to Hashem? B'shash HaTzibur Mespalim, when the Tzibur is davening as well, right? Even if you can't make it to shul, you should try to daven at the same time that the Tzibur, the congregation, is davening as well. So those are the five verses that we say in Matovu. I think we kind of gave them a fair explanation. We kind of gave them top to bottom overview. So I want to end with a favorite vort of my related to Matovu that is brought in the Sefer Yismach Yisrael in Parshas Balak by the author of the Kaf HaChaim, Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer, one of the great Sfardi Gedolim of Yerushalayim. So he says, Matovu Alach Yaakov Mishkan Osach Yisrael. What's the difference between an ohel, a tent, and a mishkan? He says, an ohel is pretty flimsy. You go camping, you throw up a tent, right? It stands up in the wind, it falls down. I remember from camp going out and, going on Moshavah, going on, different trips, setting up a camp in the woods. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. You know, tents are a bit iffy. And then there's a mishkan. A mishkan is a permanent place to daven, or at least in the eyes of the Torah, a structured place. There are walls, there's a roof, it's more sturdy. You know, sometimes, says the Kaf HaChaim, our avodas Hashem, our davening, is a mishkan. We get up in the morning, and everything is sturdy, and we're not rushed, and we can say all of Birchas HaShachar, we can have kavana, we're dressed properly, everything is the right way it should be, we're not harried, we're not rushed, everything is just in line to set up a perfect, perfect davening. And that's great. But you know what? Sometimes we need to daven and we're not feeling it. We are frustrated. We are tired. We're having a bad day. I'm not in the mood for mincha. I'm not in the mood for shacharis. And it's difficult to get everything together. And sometimes We can't build a mishkan for Hashem to daven. Sometimes we can only throw up a tent. And says Hashem, Matovu Alecha Yaakov, Mishkanosach Yisrael. Says Hashem, if you want to build me an ohel for your davening, and it's weak, but it's the best you can offer, Matovu, I'm good with that. And if you want to build me a mishkan, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's going to be strong and perfect, then I'm good with that as well. As long as you come, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you daven, and we're together, and you express yourself, better you come, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and daven and tell me, I don't want to do this right now, I'm not in the mood, than to not daven at all. Better to throw up a tent as an ohel in the service of Hashem than to throw up nothing. And that's why we say, Matovu Alecha Yaakov, Mishkan Osach Yisrael. Sometimes in the morning we're feeling it, and it's a great davening. And sometimes in the morning we're not feeling it. And you know what? That can also be a great davening as well.